lights out, and away we go.
Scott and Rick.
I don't really have a lot to comment on that.
Danny and Sunday have crashed. They've got into each other.
I wasn't listening. No idea what you're speaking about.
This is the F1 Podcast. Two soft compounds.
Hello there, I'm Scott Hughes.
I'm Rick Horton.
And we are the two soft compounds off the back of a race that we knew was going to be exciting. We weren't quite sure what to expect because the track was new and we said it was tight like Monaco but fast like Silverstone, and we weren't sure what to expect, and what we got was unbelievable. I'm not sure all of it was amazing because I think there was a lot of safety issues and there was a lot of there was a lot of moments where they had to pick up shrapnel and they needed a safety car and a virtual safety car and a red flag and a yellow flag and then more shrapnel and more safety cars. And so it was a bit all over the shop in that. I think it needs some tweaking without a doubt, but a great fast circuit and another amazing race where we've just been expecting drama all season. We got it again in this race.
Yeah, we did. So, I mean, I said, I think in last week's podcast, this could be the race of the season, and it kind of was. Maybe not all for the right reasons, but it was certainly dramatic. It was edge of your seat stuff. It really was. It's clear that Max Verstappen is not going to give this championship up without a proper fight. It's very clear that he will do everything within his means to try and get ahead, even if that means putting a few wheels off the circuit or it means playing a few little dirty tricks. I think Hamilton's aware of it. He's had the proof for the whole season. Hamilton thinks he's a crazy driver. And then, you know, Max goes and does what he did. And you think, well, okay, well, he's not giving in, which is kind of the sort of fight we want to see on track. But some of it, I think, was probably a little underhand. You know, as it's Christmas, Scott, I thought I'd come up with a bit of a carol for you. Ready for this?
Go on.
Five VSCs, three race starts, two safety cars, two red flags, and a partridge in a pear tree.
Lovely. Look at that. Wonderful. How long did that take you?
Well, you know me in preparation. I thought about that for all of 2 minutes this morning, and there we go. The circuit itself, we knew was going to be fast. We knew it was going to be dramatic because the nature of the concrete walls and mostly 200 miles an hour. 27 corners, full throttle for 79% of the lap. Just unbelievable. The second fastest track on the Formula One calendar after Monza, and the longest track after Spa on the calendar as well. So we knew it was going to be highly paced. We knew it was going to be very close. The drama started, I thought, in FP1 when it was clear that the drivers were taking their time to really get to know that circuit. And then, of course, qualifying happened and the big drama with Max Verstappen, who was without a doubt going to put it on pole position and then clip the wall on the final turn. It had everything.
Yeah, and it makes you wonder. I mean, there's so many what ifs, isn't there? What if Verstappen didn't clip the wall? What if Verstappen got on pole? What if, you know, Verstappen was leading the race when they changed the tyres the first time round and the Mercedes didn't change their tyres, but Verstappen did? You know, if everything was the other way around, who knows how it would have ended up. But just a fascinating race. I thought the circuit itself, I thought they did a great job. Great to see another night race. And, you know, all the drones and the fireworks and the little light show at the end was absolutely brilliant. Thought the podium was really good as well. So a great track. And I think, you know, with a few tweaks, it will be a belter. My concern, as I say, is there's nowhere to really remove this stuff. And we had debris all over the track at all times and lots of safety cars. Normally that can be a good thing, but I felt like it was a little bit too many of those in this race. And I guess, you know, there were so many incidents to talk about that the incident, the big one, was the kind of crash between Hamilton and Verstappen. And I've gone backwards and forwards on this one because, you know, as a neutral, it's kind of like, well, I feel like there was a bit of both involved in that. I feel like, you know, Verstappen did kind of maybe brake a little bit too hard, but at the same time, Hamilton was shifting down and slowing down, and Hamilton was confused because his team hadn't told him that Max was letting him through. And then I think they were both trying to do the whole who's going to get to the DRS line first. So they were kind of stopping to try and, you know, get that position. And it was just a very weird moment, wasn't it? When Hamilton hit him, and it was kind of like, well, what happened there? And obviously we now know that, you know, Verstappen's been given a 10-second penalty and 2 points on his license. That doesn't affect the race result, which is good, because I think if it did affect the race result, it would have been a disaster for Formula One. And they found that, you know, he did put, I think it was 69 bar of pressure on the brake pedal, which kind of they considered to be too much. So he kind of did brake test him in a weird way, is what the FIA is saying with the fine. It's a funny one, isn't it? Because you watch it from all different angles and the onboards and stuff. And I think Max kind of at first he moved over to the right and slowed down. Then he kind of went, well, you going or not? And got a bit edgy. And then he kind of moved over to the middle of the track a bit. Then Hamilton hit him. Then he just whizzed off. And it was kind of like, even I was watching it going, what's happening here? What, you know, and I think there was so much confusion. I don't think Hamilton knew what was going on. I don't think Verstappen knew what was going on. They were both sort of looking at the DRS line, and it was just a very weird, clumsy moment, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know what? Hamilton barefaced lied in the press conference. He just did, in my eyes, because you've been a racer. You've driven in the MR2 series and karts, and I've raced in karts and done 24-hour races and stuff. If the car you're chasing for the lead of the race slows for whatever reason, even if you've been told nothing, as an instinctive racing driver, you pass that car. Mm-hmm. Hamilton didn't do that. Hamilton said he was confused. I'm sorry, but that's a lie. He had no information for the team, fair enough. But if that car in front of you slows and you're racing for the race win, you overtake it. And you overtake it wherever you can. He had plenty of time before Max applied the brakes to get past the slowing Red Bull. And then afterwards to say, well, I was confused, I think is just a lie. I think Hamilton was playing the game of not wanting to go past him before the DRS activation line. And Max was keen to do the same thing. Max was told to let him pass, but do it strategically. So Max's idea was, okay, well, I'll let him pass just before that activation line. Then on the start-finish straight, I'll have DRS and I'll get past him into turn one. I could see what Max was thinking. But Hamilton at the same time had to be thinking the same thing because, you know, as an instinctive racer, you go past a slower car. He'd been chasing him down for, what, 8-9 laps before that and closing the gap. Then when he sees him slowing, what does he do? He slows as well? That's ridiculous. I don't get that, and I think Hamilton lied when he was asked the question, why didn't you go past him? And Hamilton said, because I was confused. You don't get confused as a racing driver. You go for the win no matter what it takes, and he didn't do that because he was playing the DRS game.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of dirty tricks on both sides. I wonder if the Red Bull radio call where they said do it strategically, was that their downfall, where the FIA looked at all the kind of evidence and went, well, Red Bull are basically saying to him there, be a bit naughty with how you do it by saying do it strategically. You know, was that the bit that made the FIA go, okay, maybe it was more their fault than this fault. But I completely agree with you. If you look at the onboard footage, Max moves over to the right-hand side. He leaves enough room. He slows down. And the bit for me was when you see Hamilton come up, he slows down. He downshifts and slows down. And so he knows what's going on. He knows he's slowing down, but then just doesn't move, doesn't, you know, and like you say, he's obviously waiting for Max to put the accelerator down again and move past the DRS line. And then he was going to pass him maybe, or, you know, and they were both playing the same game, I think, but it ended up in tears. But for me, it was very 50-50. I think that was quite a harsh punishment. And I think, like I say, I'm glad the punishment didn't affect the result, because I think if it did affect the result, you know, and this championship was kind of won through penalties and grid stuff, that wouldn't be great for me, in my opinion. I guess the question is, where do we go now? Because Max is ahead on wins for this season. So although they're absolutely level, and that's incredible when you think we've had, what, 21, 22 races this season, for them to be absolutely level on points, I think it's 369.5, isn't it? But for them to be level at this point, you're like, how has this happened? How have we got to the very last race of the season on exactly the same points? Obviously, Max had more wins. So if they both take each other out in the race, for example, in theory, Max wins the world title because he's got more wins. But then there's the question of if they take each other out, you know, we've got more telemetry, more cameras, more viewpoints. That can't happen in today's Formula One. It happened in the past, in the 80s, and they kind of got away with it a bit. That can't happen now. So I'm half nervous, half excited. You just know something massive is going to happen in this next race, don't you? It's not going to be as simple as one driver's going to win and one's going to come second. Something big is going to go down in this next race.
Yeah, it will be drama-filled, without a doubt. I mean, going back to the DRS line thing, I mean, it was apparent a few laps after the incident that we've just discussed that Max was playing the DRS game, because he let Hamilton through again and then got the activation of the DRS and overtook him into turn one again. So that was definitely his plan. I just don't understand why Hamilton didn't overtake him as an instinctive racing driver. All he needed to say was, well, I was waiting for the DRS line. And if he'd have said that, everyone had gone, well, yeah, okay, fair enough. He was playing a tactical game, but he didn't. He kind of said, oh, no, I was confused, which I didn't really like. The other thing that came out of Sunday's race, which I thought was really interesting, and it's never really happened before, is Michael Massey doing deals with teams before things get elevated to the stewards? And I think Michael Massey was probably trying to do this. He has the authority to do it, by the way, so he wasn't breaking any rules. But I think he was trying to do it to keep the adrenaline of the championship going. So he said to Red Bull, listen, I'm going to move you back to third place here after the for the restart because Max overtook off track and that's not fair. Now, I'm going to give you... put this deal to you. If you don't want to accept this, then it'll go to the stewards. Now, I watched Channel 4 coverage last night, which is quite interesting, and David Coulthard said in commentary, he said, you know what, I would have rather it gone to the stewards. I'd have had a five-second penalty and kept track position, which I thought was quite interesting and something I'd not really thought about. But I think Michael Massey's trying to keep the spirit of the championship alive by doing these little deals, which he's allowed to do, but it's never really happened before.
Yeah, and again, I mean, one of the things that stood out to me was how relaxed and calm and chilled Michael Massey is on the radio. And it's like a load of spoilt kids coming at him, isn't it? And he's kind of like, let's go to the Red Bull now in my nice, calm voice. And they're like, this can't happen. He can't over... this is unfair. All right, well, calm yourself down. We'll have a chat about it after the race. And it's just brilliant. He's just this kind of level-headed voice of reason. And all the team members are all diving in and that you didn't tell us this. You didn't tell... this is not fair. And it did make me laugh. But he's very kind of level-headed and very calm about everything. But yeah, just bizarre, isn't it? Like you say, when they Red Bull seem to kind of agree to that deal very quickly now, do you look at that and go, well, why did they agree to that so quickly? Did they think they were in the wrong? So they were like, well, we'll take that deal. That's a pretty good deal for us. Or were they just thinking, well, okay, we get it. You know, third's better than nothing. Let's go back to third and hopefully overtake him. There was, you know, and then they had the tyre thing where Max was on mediums and Lewis was on hards. And it was just the whole race. You know, one of those races where you think, I saw something on Twitter and it said, it's lights out and here we go, ... to rehab. And that just sums it up because it was like, I didn't know where to look. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know we were getting punishments and penalties. And I'm like, hang on, well, what's that for? Why is he getting penalties for this? What's happening here? Who's under investigation now? There's more debris. What's happening? It was one of those races where you literally couldn't take your eyes off the telly for 2 seconds.
I thought the penalties for Max Verstappen were a little bit on the harsh side. You know, after one of the red flag restarts, Max gets ahead by leaving the track. But when you watch that, he was pushed wide by Hamilton. And in the past, we've seen them let first lap incidents go like that because the pack is so bunched up. But they didn't. They were harsh. They issued the 5 second penalty. The one thing that started the drama for me was that at the start of the race, the actual start, Max wasn't able to do anything from third place and stayed in third place. And then we had the first safety car. So Hamilton and a number of others came in to change their tyres. Verstappen stayed out, got track position, leading the race, and then, of course, they pulled the red flag, which meant that Verstappen and anyone else who hadn't already made a pit stop could change tyres under the red flag. That's a rule I think they're going to change next year because, as Lando Norris said afterwards, it's ridiculous. He said, I've lost 8 places now because I came in for a regular pit stop, and all the guys who came into the pits under the red flag were allowed to change their tyres. I think that's going to change. But, of course, it put Max Verstappen very much in the driving seat. I think the big gamble for him or the team was when they put him on the mediums and hoped he would get to the end of the race. I think they were probably hoping for another safety car or another red flag so that he could come in and do a second pit stop, but it never happened. And to be honest, with all the controversy, Max probably wouldn't have held on to that lead anyway with fading tyres towards the end.
Yeah, and you know, they said on Sky commentary as well that, you know, the more cars that either finish the race or crash out or, you know, that are taken out of the Grand Prix, the chances of a safety car or a red flag are dropping each time. So the longer the race goes on, the less chance you've got of another safety car or a red flag. And that was the kind of gamble. I think Red Bull kind of rolled the dice, didn't they? They went, listen, we can't win this on pure speed and pace. And, you know, we need to roll the dice, do something a bit different, put a different set of tyres on, maybe come in at a different time. You know, Perez having that accident and crashing out of the race, that wasn't great for Red Bull. And I think we've pretty much sewed up the Constructors' Championship now. I think, you know, Mercedes have got that. That's done and dusted. I think they're like 30 points ahead now. So it's almost impossible. Mathematically, it's doable for Red Bull if both cars go out. But, you know, mathematically, I think Mercedes have won the Constructors. So now it's just down to the drivers. And I just, like I say, they're level pegging on points. Max is ahead on wins. I just think something crazy is going to happen in this race. And I really hope other drivers don't get involved as well, because that'd be the other thing that really spoils the end of this race. But it could be one of the best season finishes we've seen in years.
Yeah, we could talk about Saudi Arabia's Grand Prix for ages and ages and ages, but of course we are a bit limited by time. So let's get some stats and facts from Nicky at Lights At. He was blogging frantically over the race weekend, and all of the stuff he comes out with is amazing. Here he is with all the facts that you need from the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix.
The championship is tied ahead of the last race of the season for the first time in 47 years. Bottas becomes the third driver to qualify in the top 10 at 100 consecutive races, and Gasly sets a new record for his team. Here are the top statistics from the 2021 Saudi Arabian Grand Prix. And we start with the story of the race, Hamilton versus Verstappen. Hamilton took pole position at a 32nd different circuit and won at a 35th different circuit. His pole lap was taken at an average speed of 254 kilometers per hour, making it the 20th fastest pole lap in Formula One history. Meanwhile, Verstappen equaled the record for most podiums in a single season with his 17th podium finish of 2021. It was his 58th podium in total, equaling Nigel Mansell for 12th in the all-time list. Valtteri Bottas qualified in the top 10 for the 100th consecutive race. It's a feat which has been achieved only twice previously by Ayrton Senna and Alain Prost. Senna qualified in the top 10 at all 137 races between the 1985 Dutch Grand Prix and the 1994 San Marino Grand Prix, while Prost qualified in the top 10 at every race between the 1983 and 1990 Canadian Grand Prix. Bottas is yet to miss out on Q3 during his 5 seasons with Mercedes. Next up, with 6th place, Pierre Gasly finished in the top 6 for the 8th time this year. It's the first time that a driver for the Red Bull Junior team has finished in the top 6 at 8 races in a single season. The previous record at the team was 7 top 6 finishes for Sebastian Vettel in 2008. Mick Schumacher was the first of 5 drivers to retire from the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix. Schumacher's crash brought out the red flags. It was the 5th time that the first F1 race at a new venue has resulted in a red flag period. It also happened at the 1982 Detroit Grand Prix, the 1996 Australian Grand Prix, the 2010 Korean Grand Prix, and the 2020 Tuscan Grand Prix. And finally, for the first time since 1974, the title rivals are level on points heading into the final race of the season. It's the first time that the title will be decided at the last race of the year since 2016, as well as the first time that both the Drivers and Constructors Championships will be decided at the final round since 2008. This is the first time that the Drivers' Championship has been tied since the 2017 Chinese Grand Prix. The 2021 Abu Dhabi Grand Prix will be the 30th occasion on which the Drivers' Championship has been decided at the last race of the year. And just for a little bit of spice, the last 2 times the championship was led by 1 point or less ahead of the final race was in 1994 and 1997, both races which ended in controversial championship-deciding crashes.
Nice one, Nicky. You can, of course, follow him across the race weekends at Lights Out on Twitter. He's got some brilliant blogs all weekend and just all the time, really, just some brilliant facts. So follow him, get involved, get in Twitter. And then we're looking for the last race of the season, which is Abu Dhabi, which is coming up. And they've changed this track as well, haven't they, slightly? There's a couple of turns here that are different. So again, it's like going almost to another new track again, isn't it, this time?
Yeah, it's added, or taken away 10 seconds from the lap time, I should say. So it's going to be 10 seconds quicker. If you remember, they go through the sort of sweeping, off the start line, they go through a sweeping left turn one into a long sweeping right-hander down towards the far end of the circuit. And then they had that little niggly chicane, which was a left and right chicane before the hairpin ahead of the back straight. So they've removed that niggly chicane. So it's a straight run now to the hairpin before they get onto the back straight, which should give some amazing overtaking opportunities because they'll be coming down to that hairpin at around 200 miles an hour. Then they go down the back straight as normal. There's a little fiddly chicane at the end of that straight, which takes them on to another straight and another DRS zone. And if you remember at the end of that one, there was another niggly left and right chicane. That's gone now, and it's now a sweeping left-handed bend, which again should promote some overtaking. The one thing the teams won't have is data on these new corners. They'll have run them in the simulators and the drivers will be up to par before they even arrive in Abu Dhabi. But it is going to make a difference. Is it going to make a difference to the graining of the tyres during the race? Is it going to make a difference to strategy? All of those things. We don't know, for instance, the undercut always used to work quite well at Abu Dhabi, but we don't know whether these changes to the circuit have affected that. We don't know how the cars are going to be set up in terms of downforce. It looked as though Red Bull were running a slightly higher downforce configuration at Saudi Arabia, which made them really quite quick in the first section. How that's going to affect things in Abu Dhabi remains to be seen. The big thing is, if you think we're going to Abu Dhabi just to have a motor race, then you couldn't be further from the truth, because like you say, there is going to be drama. I mean, there's going to be drama from the start of practice. If Hamilton or Verstappen puts it in the wall, let's say, or has a crash during any of the three practice sessions, that's going to affect the setup for the rest of the weekend. Then you've got qualifying to look forward to. Now, this time last year, Red Bull dominated in Abu Dhabi, if you remember, and Mercedes seemed a little bit off the pace. Although, to be fair, that was the first race that Hamilton had returned after suffering from COVID, so maybe his head wasn't really in the game, and he'd already won the world championship, so it was nothing really for him to drive for. But this time, you know, both drivers super focused. I mean, Hamilton, you can never put him down, can you? I mean, Hamilton has just collected his thoughts. He seems cool off the track. He's just really focused, and the whole team is focused on trying to get this one over the line. Verstappen, on the other hand, seems cool as a cucumber when he's interviewed. But as we've seen from Saudi Arabia, in the cockpit, he's anything but.
Yeah, although you say that, I was expecting the radio call at the end of the race. I thought he's going to be really, really angry here. And the radio come on and he just went, well, it is what it is, isn't it? Tried my best. What can you do? And I thought that's telling because, you know, if anything, Hamilton's getting more wound up in that car than Verstappen is. And that's a big thing. If you know, as you well know, if you're racing and you're angry and you're irate, you know, it's not always the best way to be in a racing car because you want to be smooth and, you know, slow in, fast out, all that kind of stuff. But it's just going to be fascinating. You've got the team bosses as well to throw in, you know, Christian Horner and Toto Wolff, neither of which are going to be on each other's Christmas list this year. You got Marco putting his little bit in as well. And it's just fascinating just to see the management teams. You know, Marco was in the press today saying, you know, the FIA are unfair to Red Bull and Mercedes get an easier ride. And then you'll get Mercedes and Hamilton saying, oh, it's not fair. They always pick on us and we're singled out. And everyone feels hard done by. Everyone thinks they're being attacked. And everybody's trying to get the psychological game up on the next one. But it's just going to be one of the best races to end the season just because you literally don't know what's coming. And I can't put my finger on what it's going to be, but I just feel like something is going to happen where we're going to have our jaws on the floor and go, wow, I didn't see that coming. What an end to a season. I just don't know what yet.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating. I mean, never before have I witnessed two drivers going into the final race on exactly the same points. It last happened in 1975, would you believe? So this is the first time in a generation that it's happened like this. Someone has to win the race. And even if Verstappen or Hamilton don't win, their finishing position obviously is going to be crucial because one of them is going to win the world championship. Getting back to what you said earlier, I think, for instance, if Max and Hamilton come together in turn one, for instance, and take each other out, then Verstappen would win based on race wins this season. But the FIA have already indicated they'll be looking very closely at things like that because they could strip whoever causes an accident of their points, which means the other driver therefore would win the championship. So it's not as cut and dry as just, oh, I'll run into him and then I'll win the championship. There's a lot to play for. The stakes are very high. It's going to be absolutely fascinating. And I think this is probably the season of our entire lives as viewers. And certainly for the teams and drivers, it is for them too. Hamilton's not going to give up. And as we've seen from Max Verstappen, he will take every inch of the circuit and then some to get his nose ahead in this battle for the world title.
It's a nice little start time as well. We've got the build-up from 11:30 on Sky. The race starts at 1 o'clock our time. So it's a lovely sort of afternoon race time. Are you going to make a call at this point? Which way do you think it's going, Max or Hamilton?
You know what? I mean, I all season I've really fancied Max for the title because it's nice to not have the Mercedes dominance, and they've raced each other really closely all year. There's been controversies, you know, if you look back to Silverstone, if you look back to Hungary where Max got punted off by Bottas, you know, there's been good luck and bad luck for both teams and both drivers. It's been a nail-biting roller coaster. I'd like to see Max win the world championship. I really would. I think he deserves it. I think he's been harshly treated with penalties over the past few events. Hamilton, though, you can never write him off. I think he's just determined. He's so focused. He says he feels fitter and younger than he's ever felt. He said the other day that the 25-year-old Hamilton would not beat Hamilton at his current age. I think all those factors play into what's going to make for a fascinating weekend. I just hope, you know, that neither one of those drivers gets taken out by another car. I hope we have a clean fight, well, as clean as it can be, for this entire Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. I'd like Max to win, to be honest, but I couldn't predict who's gonna.
Yeah, and I'm the same. If you'd have asked me two races ago, I would have said Max is going to win the title. If you asked me today, I don't think you can rule Hamilton out. I mean, he's been absolutely tremendous the last couple of races, and he is a racer's racer, isn't he? And he just, when he needs it, when the chips are down and he just needs that extra little bit, Hamilton just seems to find it in whatever car he's in. You can never rule that guy out. Max deserves it. Hamilton deserves it. May the best man win. It's going to be a fascinating end of season race. I can't wait. I'm buzzing already.
Yeah, and don't forget, it's the final Formula One race for Kimi Raikkonen this coming weekend, the final Formula One race for Giovinazzi. So there's some sad farewells to be had. I was trying to think who will be doing donuts at the end of the race, which is traditional in Abu Dhabi. Well, obviously, the World Championship winner will be doing donuts. Kimi Raikkonen will be doing donuts, if he can be bothered. Giovinazzi probably as well. So it'll be a celebration of what has been a fantastic season in Formula One, whatever happens. And we'll be back next week to review the final exciting race of the season and probably take a gander at the season on the whole, because 2021 has been an amazing year. See you next week.
Follow Two Soft Compounds on Twitter and Facebook. Search for Two Soft Compounds. Two Soft Compounds is a talk about media production. All opinions are our own.